door is a kid that sees the funny side of anything comes up, regardless what it is.
Yeah.
And when I told him what I told him, though, that I wasn't running an old soldier's home, that tickled that kid. She said down to the band, she just, they like that awful. And it was a long time, every time I'd see it. She'd be around and said, Uncle Will, what'd you tell Mr. Hall? But he turned out to be one of the biggest sponge I ever had in Deirdre.
Yeah.
He was after everything he could get free. And that dude was drawing a good salary because he ain't sure me he was.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the thing to, wasn't a man to fill the job, no way. But James said I was caught in at the wind up and didn't have any time to go on. You see, I had to take what I could get. And that's how I come to be employed.
Yeah.
So to wind up with school, he had a wife down in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And he come down and stopped by. He come to my house two or three nights a week all winter long until school finished. Come and sit there and talk with me a little bit. Tell him his troubles he's having other places and things. I didn't have any sympathy for it. And he's telling me one night he's going to New York World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I said, who's going to carry the lady out of Mississippi? I said, you so darn tight, you never spend a dime to get New York City World's Fair. He said, thank God, he said, read my mind, ain't you? But he, as I said, he's one of these fellows, and he didn't appreciate anything you done for.
Yeah.
But he was on the cheap side of everything come up.
Yeah.
James got a lake out there, and at that time there's quite a lot of people fished out there in that lake.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had to pay a privilege mm-hmm. to get in. He'd go out there and sponge on them, always get that meal down, get a meal off of them, and then him and the youngest girl go down to the lake fish. So he called me up out there one Sunday morning, up in the morning a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I had some worm pits, raising fishing worms, you know, for bait. Just something sort of pays off from time. I didn't make any money out of them, didn't lose any money, but just had something to take that part of my time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Called me up and said, well, I need some worms. You got any? I said, yeah. How many? Well, I said, I'd have to say millions if I'd tell you what I had in the pits and what I've already got boxed up, ready to use. Well, I'd be down to Rittney, get some of them. So when he gets off the telephone, it starts from my down in town, it's about 3 miles, get a little over there. 3.5 miles or 4 maybe out of time. Jim gets on the telephone, calls me, says, Uncle Will, don't you give him them worms. Make him pay for it. So he come down there and he knows what I was trying to talk me out of a box of worms. 100 worms in a box and I got 50 cents for it. And I had to furnish my own box, had to feed those worms and count them out to be sure that people got the honest count.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking me out of a box of them. I said, now, Hark, you're no more to me than anybody else. And if you don't want to pay me 50 cents for this box of worms, just forget about it and go somewhere else. But you couldn't insult him. I don't care what's said to him, you couldn't insult him. Just a natural born sponge, cheapskate.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of fun about him since he was. In fact, he went back down home to Mississippi. He wrote me a letter from Niagara Falls and used